Welcome to the presentation of the results of the second quarter of 2019 of Grupo Sura. My name is Hilda, and I'll be your operator for today. Right now, all of the attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are in the English session and connected only by web, please send your question through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. As of now, we can listen to Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Investor Relations, to begin this talk. Good morning. Thank you for joining us in the teleconference of results of the second quarter of 2019 of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that you can access the tape of this conference at gruposura.com, where you can also find the presentation that we'll be following during the teleconference. To the attendees in the English line, on the webcast, you'll find the presentation in English and in Spanish. Today we have in this call, from Grupo Sura, our CEO, David Bojanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, Juan Luis Munera, VP of Legal Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Accounting Manager. And from affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, CFO of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Camilo Parra, Manager of Capital Management of Sura Americana. Now let's listen and give the floor to Mr. David Bojanini. Thank you, Juan Carlos. Good morning. We'd like to thank all of those that have accepted the invitation to join us in our teleconference of results of the second quarter of 2019 of Grupo Sura. To begin, I'd like for you to move to slide 5. Where we have some highlights of the performance of Grupo Sura. Overall, I would say that the performance is still very good, especially with regards to the growth of revenues, both operating and total. And we should also highlight that in expenses, especially in insurance, we have some matters related to expenses, which we will cover ahead. The operating profit of Grupo Sura during the first half of the year reached 1.54 trillion pesos, up 23.7%. Therefore, the net profit reached the figure of 951,000 million, increasing 37.4%. To date of this year, revenues have been growing much more than expenses. Revenues grew 13.3% while expenses grew 11.7%. We see that in operating revenues, there's a good dynamics of all of the operations, both in revenues from investments, meaning the result of the portfolios, the reserves of the insurers, and of the AUMs. We also see good sound results in the equity method of the companies that are related or tied, and we can highlight the great performance of Bancolombia, which has a better growth of its accounts receivable, and the credit cost, which is much lower than that of last year, reaching 1.8%, which somehow is the goal that the bank had set forth for this item. Also, the FP Protección has a good equity method, mainly because of the performance of the reserve. With regards to operating expenses, as I said before, particularly when it comes to insurance, we have three situations that we'll be explaining to you ahead, which took place this semester and did not take place before. Firstly, I'm talking about the hyperinflation in Argentina, which hurts us in a figure, or better, in the adjustments of inflation, and it hurts us of 18,000 million pesos. Only with the law of financing, the VAT from commissions of life insurance, which is a non-discountable VAT, is hurting us in 22,000 million pesos. And third, the biggest impact is with the EPS, in which the service rendered costs have dramatically grown, and that we'll be explaining as well closely when we talk about insurance. Anyways, the retained claims do remain at proper levels. Lastly, I'd like to mention that within our strategic priorities, what refers to financial strength and our capacity of investment during this year, we have amortized the debt of 265,000 million, and we hope that during the year, this figure will be more or less taken to 330,000 million as we projected from the early on this year. So with these highlights, I'd like to give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will provide you more details regarding the figures of Grupo Sura. Thank you, David, and good morning to everyone. So let's look at slide 6, and let's look at the consolidated financial statement. And I'd like to highlight the strength of the balance sheet, the increased equity after the disinvestments we had early in the year, and the reduction of financial liabilities online with the deleveraging process. The equity reached 27.3 trillion, up 2.6%, both in assets and liabilities. Given the disinvestments I told you about, there is a decrease when it comes to the debt. We can observe in the graph the consolidated financial debt is at 9.2 trillion, down 6.1%. Now let's move on to slide 7, where we can see that we're managing the deleveraging process and the holdings investment capacity. Look at the individual financial debt at 4.3 trillion, down 6.1%. We have amortized in capital 265,000 million pesos so far, mainly in local bonds, and with the bank debt at a higher cost right now, it's at 82.7 expressed or tied to the peso, and at 17.3 with the dollar. And we see in the graph on the right how the profile of the debt's expiration or maturity is a proper profile because of the international bonds of 21 and 2026. Regarding the indicators of the debt that we can see on the lower part of the slide, you can see how the net debt of dividends reaches 4.89, aligned with what we projected. The leverage as measured as loan to value is at 13.4, and the cost of the debt, including the cost of hedges of the bonds in dollars, is at 7.55, and that's a rate in pesos. Please move to slide 8. Where we can see the consolidated income statement and where we would like to highlight how the operating results grew 23.7%. This 23.7% has an operating profit of 1.5 trillion in the first half of the year, which is quite positive and is mainly driven by revenues from investments. The equity method added to the good operating dynamics in different operations. Now let's look closely at the operating earnings. These are growing 13.3%, reaching 10.5 trillion. And we see in the different items how there are some that have displayed very positive growth. Revenues from investments, 50.1%. Equity method, 48%, mainly driven by Bancolombia, growing 59%, and Protección 106%. That gives us then revenues that grow more than operating expenses. And operating expenses, we see that these grew 11.7%, and there the operating profit has a great growth in 23%, as mentioned before. If we eliminate the operating, from that operating earning, everything has to do with reserves, we could say that management has less control of those results, and the growth of the operating earning would still be a very positive number, close to 8%. On the other hand, we can look at the net profit, which reached 950,000 million pesos. Great result, up 37.4%. And on the right-hand side of the slide, we'd like to emphasize two additional things. One is the financial result, in which the financial result shows the development of the exchange effect of it, and when it comes to interest, although their growth is 21% gradually in this item, there are different things that are taking at once. The interest of the debt, which gives the amortizations that are dropping, some of the costs of the hedges related to international markets, and part of the interest related to the IFRS 16 as well. And we've talked about that impact. In 2018, this was an expense for leasing. And now in 2019, it's a depreciation and it's an expense of interest. And that's part of the item of interest. So the implementation of this new IFRS gives way to some changes in interest, and that's why we want to show you separately that total impact, which ends up being 38,000 million pesos more of expenses. Let's move on to slide 9, please. Here I can show you the consolidated net income, which reached 250,000 million pesos, up 37.4%. That begins in the first semester of 2018 at 692,000 million. Let's look first at the net income of Suramericana, which is 80,000 million pesos negative. And that's because of the impacts I told you about before. And that will deepen on ahead when we look at Suramericana closely. And this is mainly adjustments per inflation in Argentina, less exchange effect because of lower volatility in Colombia, and the EPSs. With Sura Asset Management, there's a positive contribution of 140,000 million, which contributes to Grupo Sura helping in 140,000 million when it comes to reserves and the equity method. And the investments in Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa contributes a growth of 164,000 million pesos. When it comes to the items that are in the gray shaded box on slide 9, you can see a net of 40,000 million pesos related to the particular numbers of Grupo Sura as the holding, and the holding. And here you can see the value of the hedges plus taxes. So this is a positive value for this semester, reaching 950,000 million. When we look at the parent company's net company, we're talking about 846,000 million pesos, growth of 42.4%. Slide 10 shows you our vision of the portfolio. We'd like to remind you that we have the five parts of our portfolio, and the others are under other. Here you can see Suramericana and Sura Asset Management. Because of this recent transaction of Sura AM with CDPQ, we're at 10, Suramericana at 7. And when it comes to Grupo Nutresa, Grupo Argos, and Bancolombia, you can see the other figures to reach a value of the portfolio of 34.6 trillion pesos, keeping in mind the depth that we have of the holding of 4.7. We're talking really about net value of the portfolio of 29.9 thousand million pesos. So for market capitalization as of March 31st of this year, we're talking about 19.6 trillion. Shares are at 15,643 million, and we're still third in the Colombian market market list and common share price grew 6.2%. Now, let's give the floor to David, who can tell us about the highlights of Sudamericana de Seguros. Thank you, Ricardo. On slide 12, we can see the highlights that relate to Sudamericana, which briefly, I would say that the company has displayed a dynamic that's positive in terms of growth and the consolidation of operations. As to growth, the premiums issued reached 6.2 trillion pesos, up 12.3%, while those that are retained grew 10.8% because of a higher cession with the reinsurers. To talk about life, retained premiums grew 14.2%, and in P&C, these grew 8%. And with P&C is where we are seeing the biggest premiums with the reinsurers. And this is part of the consolidation process of the operations that we have in different countries. Also, I'd like to mention that the health segment grew 20.9%. As I said before, the good dynamics of growth in premiums is being hurt because of some particular expenses, which I mentioned, like those of life, because of the corrections of the VAT, which is, cannot be discounted, which is impacting us. And also we have the case of adjustments by inflation in Argentina, which grew to 18,000 500 million pesos. And for health, where the APS is mainly, where there's a difference in the result of the first half of last year versus the first semester of this year, there's a negative difference of 61,000 million pesos. And this can be explained mainly because this year, since some EPS have had problems, we have received about 500,000 affiliates from these other EPS, and many of these persons arrive with repressed pathologies, which, of course, has increased our claims. Also, there are other things that are related to this. The unit of payment for capitation has not increased to cover these higher claims that we see at the EPS that we've received. Of this, what we can say is that we have been talking with the government, especially with the Minister of Health, to seek a solution to this situation so that the EPS can continue working as they have in prior years. So we do expect that this situation can be solved in the following weeks or months. We've had very active discussions with the government, and we do hope that our petitions are listened so that the EPS can continue working in Colombia. Because of this, the net profit of the company had a decrease of 33%, reaching a figure of 174,000 million pesos. So I would say that that is the most important part that's worth mentioning about Sudamericana in this first half of the year. Now let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will give us more details about the results of Sudamericana. Thank you, David. Let's move to, please, slide 13 to look at the figures of Sudamericana in more detail. Here we see a positive revenue growth and the net income that's impacted by specific expenses in some operations. Let's look at the revenues, how the retained premiums and revenues from the services reach in the first quarter, $6.9 trillion, up $800,000 million in the first 3 months, and percentage-wise, 13.5%. The technical results, on the other hand, reached $2.4 trillion, up 2.8%. Remember, the technical result is equivalent to the underwriting before administrative expenses and investment income. Moving to the indicators on the right-hand side of slide 13, we can see claims plus reserves and how the claims of the company had an improvement of 100 basic points, closing at 7.1 of revenues. When it comes to the cost for services rendered as a percentage of revenues, here you can see the impairments and the claims in the health sector, which we'll talk about ahead, which has increased in claims up 410 basic points, and it's one of the specific things that we have been talking about in this conference. When it comes to investment income, it's showing a good performance with fixed earnings globally. We're talking 592,000 million pesos. And operating expenses, you can see an increase of 10 basic points to 13.8%. And this has to do with the adjustments because of inflation in Argentina and everything that has to do with the fees with insurers in Colombia. For taxes, you can see a good improvement with a lower rate, dropping 43.8%, which compensate or offset the three events that we've explained before. Let's move to slide 14, where you can see here how we build the net income of the company. Here you can see that the company's net income is 173,000 million pesos. And last year we began with 259,000 million, and we had impacts on the three segments, both in life, P&C, and health. When it comes to life, we've told you before, this has to do with VAT on commissions, which is about 22,000 million pesos, which has to do with this decrease in the profit or the contribution to profit for the company. When it comes to P&C, we have the adjustment for inflation in Argentina, which is about 18,000 million pesos. And in health, which we'll see ahead with more details, we have a negative 61,000 million pesos, and it's because of the health care situation seen recently. Also, in the corporate segment, you can see that in the gray box, it has to do with Suramericana S.A. We see a contribution of 21,000 million pesos, and this makes us reach the 173,000 million for the net income of 2019 as an outlook. The adjusted ROE is 10.7, and the adjusted ROTE is 13.9%. Moving on to slide 15, you can see the life segment, where you can see there's a positive growth of premiums. However, this does not compensate the higher expenses because of the VAT on the commissions paid. The net profit is 232,000 million pesos in the first half of the year, down 8.4%. And in the bottom of the slide, you can see that retained premiums grew 14.2%. Mainly here we'd like to highlight the entrance of Seguro de Vidas Mexico, which brings 80,000 million pesos. Also, we'd like to talk about the good dynamics of the work risks area and the business of life of the group, which grew 44.2%. Also, you can look the better claims, which increased 50 basic points, especially because of professional risks. Now let's look at the technical results of the company, which reached $350,000, up 8.5%. Administrative expenses grew 28.1%. And this shows the impact of the VAT on the commissions. And investment income grew 8.4%. This investment income, it goes hand in hand with what we see with the interest rates of fixed income globally. On slide 16, let's look at the P&C segment, in which higher reinsurance costs in Argentina's hyperinflation negatively had impacts. When it comes to this, we're talking about an adjusted net income of 88.8 thousand million pesos, down 11.2%. Great growth of premiums are displayed, issued, which read 3.7 trillion, which grew in local growth of 14.1%. Moving to the bottom of slide 16, when we look at retained premiums and the claims ratio, we can see that retained premiums reached 2.7 trillion, up 8%. So we increased the cession. When it comes to the claims ratio, this decreased 7 basic points, but in the second quarter, the indicator had a reduction of 32 basic points, mainly because of less fire events and less liabilities for low claims. In technical results, in this segment, this reached 600,000 million, up 2.6%. This reached a decrease of 3.2 basic points. Administrative expenses grew 7.3%. In this item, we show the higher expenses because of the adjustment by inflation of Argentina for the first half of the year. Lastly, investment income displays a positive growth, as I said before, because of the sound dynamics of the interest rates of fixed income globally growing at 31.1%. On slide 17, we can see the healthcare segment, which I told you we have a particular situation. There is a high client growth and a higher claims ratio. The net income of this segment in the first 6 months was a negative 16,000 million, which has a variation compared to last year of 22.6%. Also, if we look at 156, we can see that the revenue growth pack is basically up 62% because of two things. One, the total affiliates, which we can see on the right-hand side, reached 3.4 million, up 17.3%. We're talking about 500 new affiliates just compared to Colombia. This is equivalent to having the population of Bucaramanga entirely new. So this leads to more costs. And when it comes to claims ratio, it increased 500 basic points. And this goes hand in hand with delayed treatments. And also the operating expenses grew 17.5%, and this reflects the investments showing the capability that the company has to provide or render the services to the new affiliates. Another important point that has an impact on revenues has to do with the complementary plan of health, and this is 5% of the affiliates that we have right now talking about this service. This is a very important service, which we think has the potential to increase the numbers of the company. When it comes to the technical reserves, we can see that it reached 216,000 million pesos. And also when it comes to investment income, It's very important because you can see the growth of 13.7%. On the right-hand side of slide 17, you can see the figures of the different companies, which you can see that EPS has the biggest impact. The 500, attacking, going back to the 500 basic points. Let's go back to David, who will talk about the highlights and main figures of Suda Asset Management. Thank you, Ricardo. I invite you to look at slide 19, where we see the highlights of Suda Asset Management, in which we can see a sustained dynamics of all of its business, and mainly the yield of the reserve that's very good, that drives the results of the company. The net activity of the net profit of the operations reached 430,000 million pesos, up 48.1% in the semester. Also, we saw that in the second quarter of the year, there was a good growth of the net profit of 27.7%. AUMs, total AUMs, reached 458 trillion pesos, increasing 15.4%. And it's important to highlight that we continue registering alpha, positive alpha, of 81% of the AUMs of investment management. And leadership ranks in terms of profitability in the main mandatory funds, in which we can talk about Chile, Mexico, and Uruguay. In the mandatory business, in commissions, we have a resilient growth of 8.8% in pesos, Colombian pesos, and of 1.8% in local currencies, despite the reduction of fees observed in Mexico, Uruguay, and Peru. Anyways, we still observe a positive contribution of the yield of the reserve, which significantly drives the results, as I said before. When it comes to savings and investments, this business is still in an uptrend. With AUMs, it grew 24.2% in pesos, with a commercial positive dynamic and a net flow that's also positive, which show the highest revenues by commissions. And lastly, when it comes to the investment management business, we're still focused on building the regional platform, launching new funds, and encouraging our investments team or strengthening it. Now, let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will give us more explanations about the results of Suda Asset Management. Thank you, David. Now let's look at slide 20, where we can see the operating results of the semester, and we can see how the profitability of the reserve and the insurance margin really have a weight here. When it comes to operating revenues, they reach 1.55 trillion pesos, up 31.6%. Looking at the graph in detail, looking at these revenues, we can see that in 2018, we had a revenue of 1.175 trillion. And I'd like to highlight commission income, which grew 2.5% in local currencies and 9.4% in pesos. The equity method, which is Protección, 93.5% growth. And the legal reserve, which grew 1,048%, contributing 195,000 million pesos, reaching the 1.5 trillion that I said before. When it comes to operating expenses, these grew 13.4%, reaching 834,000 million pesos. And Now let's look at these operating expenses closely. The sales expenses, which grew 10.3% as a percentage of the fee, they're growing 40 basic points. And these 40 basic points are related entirely to the commercial dynamics displayed in countries like Mexico and Chile. In administrative expenses, we have a 14.8 growth, which mainly is explained by the different projects that the company is implementing right now for the business with new technologies, new platforms, and the investment management team, which has been building, has been being built in recent months. So we reach an operating earnings profit of 712 thousand million, up 62.2%, which is great, which has to do with the expenses observed. And obviously, with the return of the legal reserve, I'd like to highlight that behind this legal reserve, we're talking about 8% versus the yield that we had in the first semester of last year, which was close, almost even 1%. Moving to slide 21, you can see the net income growth of the company, driven mainly by the mandatory pension business. We began with a net income in 2018 of $272,000. Then we see the mandatory pension contributes $202,000. And the other accounts, items, voluntary annuities, exchange effect, and others in the corporate segment don't have much incidence. Although in the corporate segment, effects and others are more negative, and it's basically because of what we mentioned before. To end with a net income in 2019 contributing of Sura Asset Management to Grupo Sura of 427,000 million pesos. This company has an adjusted ROE of 7.3% and an adjusted ROTE of 27.7%. Moving to slide 22, we see closely the figures of the mandatory pensions, where there's a return on the reserve and the commercial activity. And there's really an impact on lower fees in some countries. The business is still looking at innovative models like robotics, analytics, and artificial intelligence, seeking to add value for the customers. Here we began with $1.3 billion, up 34%. And in the middle, you can see the main drivers for the growth in this segment. First, the AUMs, which reached $405 million, up 16.4%. These AUMs are very relevant in Mexico and Peru, given the regulatory scheme that they have in those. In Mexico, it grew 23.7%, and in Peru, 14%. When it comes to salary base, there are very positive growths as well, above the inflation of the countries where the salary base is very important, Chile, 3.9%, Colombia, 5.5%, and Uruguay, 16%. Commission income reached $987,000 million, up 8.8%. And here I'd like to tell you, and it's the bit of new affiliates that we have in Peru, highlighting that in June we're starting the reception for 2 years for these new people in AFP Integra. During the first month of the bid, that we have a record of 28,000 people in Peru, and the bid will have a very good impact on the sustainability of the business with more than 800,000 new customers in 2 years and a better base of the clients that's younger. Also, we're talking about a growth of 1,038 when it comes to the priority, when it comes to the investment teams, and with regards to the positive alpha in the different countries. When it comes to sales expenses, these are growing 11.4%. As I told you before, it gathers the commercial dynamics seen in different countries, mainly in Mexico and Chile. And lastly, the administrative expenses, which show a growth of 14.8%, which is seen in local currency, it's up 7.1%. Now let's move to slide 23, where we see very good details of the voluntary business, which has to do with a great dynamics of growth in the last quarter growth. Net operating revenues reached 186,000 million, up 19.1%. Total AUMs of voluntary reached a growth of 8%, especially this was seen in the last quarter. And first we'll look at AUMs, which reached 31.8 trillion. With a net flow of 2.3 trillion, returns of 1.6 trillion, and with the AUM's investment management reached 33.5 trillion, up 1.8%. Here I'd like to remind you that we have about 12.4 trillion, which is handled by investment management. The priorities for this business is the proposal for more value for our customers, offsetting the pressure that we have from lower fees. And with investment management, we're working with launching new mandates and funds to compensate the loss of the portfolio of annuities that we had in Chile. The specific part of commissions is seen on the bottom of slide 23, where you can see that it grew 10.3%. Sales expenses are related to the commercial dynamics, which grew 9.8%, growing more AUMs than sales expenses, which is good for the rentabilization of the segment. And administrative expenses grew 24.7% after the different investments, and especially in platforms and the team for the and in the different regions. Also, I'd like to talk about the positive alpha of 80% of the AUMs that we have, and which is the biggest strength that we have right now, we're providing our customers in terms of products. So with this, we end the presentation, and we give way to the session of questions and answers. Thank you. As of now, we begin the Q&A session. We'll begin asking the questions verbally and from the Spanish. For those that are listening in English or only connected by web, please send your questions through the platform. Later, we'll be reading and answering your questions. So let's begin with the people that are in Spanish. Please, if you have a question, press star followed by one. If you want to remove yourself, just press pound. Again, if you have a question in Spanish, press star followed by one. We have a question of Catherine Ortiz from Corredores de Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to know, firstly, if you have a guide related to the performance of Suramericana for the second half of this year that you could share with us because of this effect of the VAT, especially with the life commissions, or at least in terms of profitability of this company. And second, I'd like for you to share with us the development of the pension reform in Chile, where it stands after the latest events. And thirdly, what's your opinion on the new proposals in Colombia made by the market mission of capitals? Among many things, We're hearing talks about savings for voluntary pensions that will be managed by entities other than pension funds. So I don't know, what's your opinion about this? Could you please share with us about that topic? Catherine? With regards to the performance guides of Sudamericana for the second half of the year, I will give Juan Camilo Parra the floor. Carlos Oquendo will talk about the reform in Chile, and Ricardo Jaramillo will talk about your question of the mission of the capitals market. So, Juan Camilo. Good morning, and thank you for your question, Catarina. With regards to Suramericana, it has had an impact that's relevant. Our purpose is to create internal efficiencies to offset this VAT expense and to meet our budget and our profitability levels for 2019 and years subsequently. So internally, we are creating the operating efficiencies needed to offset the expense of 22,000 million pesos that so far Sudamericana has. Now, let's listen to Carlos Oquendo, who will talk about the next question. Hello, Catarina. With regards to the pensional reform of Chile, this discussion has expanded for many months, and we are concerned about it because it's had a very political touch when it comes to the debate of who's going to manage the 4%. Technically, the AFPs have had great results managing the savings, and there is no additional cost thereof. So technically, for us, the AFPs would be the best option for the affiliate. Today, a pension person in Chile with the money accumulated, 60% comes from the yields of that savings, while 30% comes from others. So there are people in Chile that are waiting for the reform to be enacted to look at their pensions, but we are concerned that there are other items in the debate that are very valuable and they have been left on standby. So, and basically that the discussion on the 4% is more political than anything else. Hello, Catarina. I am Ricardo Jaramillo, and let's talk about the capital markets mission. Firstly, we are positive about that mission. We participated in the different desks constructively with this because, remember, we are significant players with regards to the investments IFPs, the issuer of Grupo Sura, of debt and shares, and obviously for the insurers. So the results for us are the first step that we need for the materialization of everything, which is very complex because we have different changes of law and everything, but I think it gathers a diagnostic that we are clearly have because we are aware that there is a deep and liquid market that are under use. So keeping that in mind, we are though really interested in having more competition because we think that having more players, we can have more liquidity and more power with different players. Also, we are pushing for the initiative of the Pacific Alliance to think about integrated market is great, especially because the insurers can invest in other countries as a local issuer. It would give us much more drive and strength. And I don't want to focus on the different parts, especially when it comes to the fact that, again, I think it's a first part in which we'll have discussions in which the government will have with all the players actively, because if you look at what's happening in the setting, it's a very drastic change to the regulation that we have today in the capital market. Perfect. Thank you to everyone for your response. Thank you. Next question comes from Carl Gunn from HEBC. Hello, good morning. I had a question. When it comes to your business in Mexico, we understand that the government has said that it wants to reduce the commissions in the next 5 years. So I would like to know how this would affect you, and would you reconsider if you would stay in Mexico, or if this would hurt the system in any way? Okay, Kyle. I think that Carlos Oquendo is the best person to answer you from Sura Asset Management. Hello, look. The scheme of low commissions in Mexico, más volumen, is something that we need much more reflected. Also, we understand that our models, or better, when there's a change of government, generally, the new government intensifies lower commissions. Also, we see the need in Mexico of a higher contribution margin. In Mexico, it's a very low margin. It's only 6% of the salary saved by workers. And we believe that Mexico needs a reform to increase that percentage. On the other hand, something else that offsets that lower or decrease of commissions in 5 years could be driven by the growth of the yield. So I believe that there could be an impact, but I think that the lower commissions will be having an impact, yes. But if there is a higher or a reform that increases, and the government has even discussed it, increases a higher contribution rate in savings by the workers, that way we can offset on a medium-term basis this acceleration of the lower rate of the commission. May I ask more? We know that right now you have the idea of reforming and increasing your contribution rate. Do you have any idea how this reform will affect the pensions as well? Then, secondly, we're in August already, and I imagine you're discussing the commissions, or if there will be any changes in your commissions. Well, look, what the government stated in Mexico is that the pension reform would take place during the second half of the government standing. And usually this takes place in December. We come from a negotiation in which last year we reached 0.95%, and we think that it could be still in the model that lowers a bit more during this first year. And yes, we are waiting, as the government said, to have a more drastic measure in the negotiations made in December. However, this year we have had good growth of AUMs and yields, and the performance of our net flow has been very good, so I think that impact won't be that big. Thank you for your answers. Ricardo, I would like to compliment by saying that what we've been seeing in the region and we've been doing is working with initiatives within the companies so that we can offset that pressure so that we can be more efficient and have sustainable, profitable levels. Thank you. Thank you so much for your answers. We have another question from Fabian Perdomo from Corredores da Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. I have a question about the ties you have with the government and the problems with the other EPSs. So what did the government respond to this? And could you give us an idea of the AUMs in pesos? Thank you. Fabian, let me answer your health question. The problem seen in healthcare involve different problems or items that are being discussed with the government. First, we have the capitation that was not adjusted to include the new inclusions of the processes of the basic health plan. And that, of course, involves a cost, because if you include more procedures which were not covered and they're not included with the value, the proper value, which has happened, the OPSE won't be enough. Another topic that has been very sensitive is that the premium for non-capabilities dropped to 0.34%, and that has had an impact throughout the system, which is important because the incapacities or claims for this have not dropped, and there was no reason for the premium to drop. Also, there's something that we mentioned, which is perhaps a topic that's creating the most impact, and it's because the people that arrive, or the new affiliates that we have at the EPS, come with very expensive and repressed diseases. And when it comes to the first year, that has a huge impact. So after this will be standardized and will drop, but we must have a compensation because of those higher costs in the first year. So I would say that those are the most important points that we've been discussing with the government. It's not an easy discussion. We've talked with the Minister of Health, with the President, and we're doing our task of showing very, very clearly what's taking place. And we hope there's a positive response in the coming weeks on these items. In terms of total costs, truly, these are things that are at 175,000 million, which compared with the final point is not so significant. But still, it's important for the segment to continue operating and to be able to liquidate or close the EPS that are not working as they should. So that's what we're doing, and particularly we are focusing on what I just mentioned, and we hope we have a positive response from the ministry and from the government in general. As to your other question on the debt in pesos, will be answered by Ricardo Jaramillo. Yes, our debt in pesos for Grupo Sura, individual, most of the debt is indexed to the IPC. Some is to the IDR and for Sudamericana, which has bonds in Colombia. It's indexed to IPC entirely. Okay, thank you so much for your answers. Right now, we have no further questions. Are there any questions through the web? We were asked the same thing about the health care sector, which I think we answered. And we also have been asked if we have any mechanisms to offset the law of the financing law, the effect of this financing law. Are you talking about the effect of the VAT on the life insurance? Well, yes, we have seen mechanisms, especially there's a way to manage the banking insurance, but we're very careful. But I would say that this is a reality that we had in the budget early on in the year because we knew that this financing law would talk about this and will have an impact on this. Okay. We'd like to ask if there are any other further questions. Remember, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. Right now, we have no further questions. We'd like to thank you all. This ends the teleconference of today. If you would like to listen to this conference, again, it's available on the website soon. Thank you for attending. Have a good day.